the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. Brethren, I recall to your minds the gospel that I preached to you, which also you receive, wherein also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold it fast, as I preach it to you, unless you believe to no purpose. For I delivered to you first of all what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and after that to the 11. Then he was seen by more than 500 brethren at one time, many of whom are still, who are with us still, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. And last of all, as by one born out of due time, he was seen also by me. For I am the least of the apostles, and I am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace in me has not been fruitless. The gospel is taken from that of St. Mark. At that time, Jesus, departing from the sea, from the district of Tyre, came way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the districts of Decapolis. And they brought to him one deaf and dumb, and entreated him to lay his hand upon him. And taking him aside from the crowd, he put his fingers into the man's ears, and spitting, he touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be thou open. And the ears were at once opened, and the bond of his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak correctly. And he charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, so much more did they continue to publish it. And so much the more did they wonder, saying, he has done all things well. He has made both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. In today's Gospel, our Lord does a number of things. He puts his fingers into the person's ears, takes some spittle, touches it to his tongue, looks up to heaven, says, be open, ephphatha. Now, the question is did our Lord have to do these things to heal this man? No, of course not. And in other incidences in the Gospel, he does similar things. He makes mud in one instance, puts it on a man's eyes and tells him to go wash, and he's healed there. Does our Lord have to do this? No. Our Lord could heal the man without any of this. As a matter of fact, the man didn't even have to be brought to him, because it says they brought so that he would put his hand on him. The man didn't even need to be brought to him. He could have healed him from a distance. Why does he do this? Why did he do this? And why does our Lord continue to do things like this? He does it for our sake. For our sake. We are spiritual beings, it is true, but we are also material beings. We are both. And in particular, we only learn and know things through the material world. Our five senses, by which we know everything, are only senses for the material world. We cannot see into the spiritual world, and only through some extraordinary grace does maybe a saint be able to see the spirit world, be able to see all the angels here present. But even then, the angels would appear in a material form. They'd appear like people, even though that's not really the way they are. So even something like that is still done in a quasi, we'll say quasi-material nature. Why? Because we can only know things through our senses, and our senses only detect material things. We particularly can't sense grace either, or nothing spiritual, except through some kind of extraordinary gift. And so because of this, our Lord knows this. He created us. And so when he comes to give us grace, he often packages it or uses material things to show that we are receiving grace. And so here he does this. He looks up to heaven. He didn't have to look up to heaven, but he does it to show the people that this is coming from God. He touches him to show that this is grace. This is coming from me. I'm the one that touches him. And because of that touch on the ears, he's healed. in order for us to understand this. So God uses material things to give us grace, so that we know that we're receiving the grace. And of course, He does this in particular even today, and He does it in particular in the sacraments. All the sacraments are material things by which God promises, if this material action and object is done in this way, then I guarantee that grace will be given. We have confessions here in the back of the church. Under the proper circumstances, if the person is sorry, truly sorry for their sins, the proper form of sins, confesses their sins, and the priest says the words, "I absolve you," the sins are forgiven. The material thing is the words, "I absolve you," in persona Christi. It's Christ Himself saying them. It's a material thing. Did Christ need those words to forgive us? No. He can forgive us without those words. We need those words to know that we're forgiven. Otherwise, how do we know? It's like our sometimes the Protestants get caught up in this. They say, "Well, you know, I go to Christ directly for forgiveness," and then the response is, "Well, how do you know He's forgiven you?" You don't, because there's nothing there. There's no way to know. But here, our Lord specifically tells us. You know, and it doesn't even need to be, the person involved in some of the sacraments don't even need to have faith. We know for baptism, we can have a Jewish nurse do a baptism. Maybe there's a little baby that she knows is going to die in a couple minutes. And she knows the parents are good Catholics. And so she baptizes the baby. She doesn't have belief in Christ. But as long as she has the right intention, that is to do what Christ intended her to do, I will say do what the church intends, and uses the proper formula, it can be just her and the little baby. And neither of them have faith, because the baby's just born, has no faith. The nurse is Jewish, she has no faith. And yet if she does it properly, the grace is given. Undoubtedly, it is given. Why? Because God promises to work through the material world in specific circumstances. The water, a material thing, poured over the body, a material thing, while words are being said, a specific formula, in order to show what's being done, a washing. "I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." The grace is infallibly given. God works this way. And I should be clear, in all the sacraments, it's this way. It's an anointing with, or I'm sorry, a laying on of hands for confirmation. It is bread and wine, which are the matter, and then the priest who says the words, and they are changed. The priest, it's actually Christ through the priest who says the words, and they are infallibly changed into His body and blood, so that when we receive communion, we know, without a doubt, Christ is coming to live in us. Coming to live in us, to dwell in us materially, for 15 minutes, just like He dwelt in the Our Lady for 9 months. He dwells in communion in us for 15 minutes. But that, of course, leads to deeper dwelling, the true spiritual dwelling in our souls. This is how Christ works with us. The sacraments are material things by which He gives us graces. Now, there are other things we can do. We always, or I should say often, interact with through the material world. We have pious practices. Oftentimes I go to someone's house and there'll be a statue of Our Lady. And the family, the kids will maybe, or the parents, will give flowers to Our Lady. Or sometimes here at our altar of Our Lady, you'll see flowers there that someone has given to her. Again, it's a material thing that we do. It's a pious practice. It's not a sacrament. But still, we interact through the material world. We have candles over here. You can buy candles in the supermarket. You can light them. Now, you can have a blessed candle, but even if it's not blessed, it's a good pious practice. You light a candle before an image of Our Lord or Our Lady or a favorite saint. And it's a way of having devotion to them. And it's these type of pious practices can also be a source of grace. As a matter of fact, sometimes, because the pious practice is done with such fervor, with such love, that it seems as though we can even receive more graces through these type of actions. But we can receive a great deal of grace through a great love for our patron saint or for Our Lady. We do these type of pious things. We can even pray in our own words. It doesn't have to be a rote prayer. And that, again, is words, a material thing by which we open ourselves to grace. Now, there's a difference between the sacraments and these type of actions. I say when we do these pious practices, we open ourselves to grace. God still has to decide to give us the grace. It's not a guarantee. He doesn't promise to do it there. But we open ourselves to grace when we do these pious practices. In the sacraments, though, it is infallible. God says, when this is done under these circumstances, I promise you, I will give the grace. Now, in the sacrament, you could still say, I don't want the grace. That's something different. But it's there. So there's a difference between these things. But pious practices can greatly, greatly help our spiritual life. Now, between these two, the sacraments and our pious practices, there's another class of things. And they are the sacramentals. These are objects or actions or prayers that have been given a special approbation by the church. In the ritual, there's a special blessing for these things. Or the church has established these prayers in a specific way. So we can think about like the rosary, which is both an object, which you get blessed, and also a prayer. Or any of these type of things. We can have blessed statues. There's a blessing for statues. You can have a statue at home, which is blessed. Crucifixes. St. Benedict medals. St. Benedict crucifixes. Holy water. All these type of sacramentals. We can have actions and prayer. So we do the sign of the cross. That's an action. That's a sacramental. We can do it while saying a prayer. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, you don't have to say that when you bless yourself. Matter of fact, a good pious practice is for a father to bless his children at night, to just give a little blessing with his thumb. As a spiritual head of the family, he can do that. Give a little blessing. That's a pious practice. That's not a sacramental, but it's a cross in a similar way that we do the sign of the cross, which is now a sacramental. It's something a little more than that. So how do sacramentals work? Sacramentals work based upon our piety, or I should say based upon our fervor. But there's also an aspect that they're based upon the faith of the church in general. So sacramentals work a little different than just a pious practice. And that is, even if the person doesn't have faith and they're somehow involved with a sacramental, the door to grace is open. This is why it is good to give sacramentals to your friends and your family who've lost the faith or aren't practicing their religion. Now, we want to make sure we don't cast our pearls before swine, and knowing that if they're just completely shut off and against it, we don't want them to desecrate these things. But it's a good thing to give the green scapular. Well, that's been specifically, Our Lady specifically says this is for conversion. But to give miraculous medals. Sometimes parents in the apartment or in the house of a fallen away child will sprinkle around a little holy water in hopes that something happens. And you can do this. Why? Because the sacramentals work based upon the faith of the church. Now, of course, they work better if you use them with faith. So they're somehow in between. Remember, the sacraments work basically based upon a promise from God, so they work automatically. The technical term is ex opere operato. They work by the very action of the sacrament. Our pious practices work by our action. And in between, there's these two sides of the sacramentals. It's important to understand this so that we can properly use them. And this is also why sometimes when someone gets a new devotion, or say something like the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, They begin doing it, and they think, oh, Father, this is great. I'm getting all these graces, and it's wonderful. And then after a few weeks, they kind of give up on it, or maybe after a few months. Why is that? They're saying, well, you know, I feel like I wasn't getting a lot of graces. And that's because you lost your fervor. You lost your fervor. So sacramentals work, of course, also by our fervor. So we need to make sure that when we do them, like our prayers, or use them, that we do have a certain degree of fervor. We try to do that as much as possible. Now, of course, it's difficult. But when we do our prayers, when you do the rosary, we want to try and concentrate on it. We want to try and, stir ourselves up for love for Our Lady. This is why it's good to do it before an image of Our Lady. Or like the Chapel of Divine Mercy, we try to stir ourselves up. Because then, more graces will be available. So, our Lord knows us. He created us. We're not angels. We don't completely live in the spiritual world. We don't see the spiritual world. We don't see grace. Our Lord knows this. And He works on our level, through the material world, through the sacraments. He gives graces with our pious practices, and He also gives grace through the sacramentals of the Church. And so we need to recognize this. We need to frequent the sacraments for an increase of sanctifying grace. We also need to make sure that we perform our pious devotions and sacramentals with a proper fervor so that we can receive many graces. So that when we do enter heaven, or will be found to be worthy to enter heaven, we will have a great degree of holiness. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.